Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm really pleased to be here with you this evening. It looks like we have a lot of people on the line and a lot of people on the web, and I will be talking about how to know when you're in love, which seems to be a big topic. So I'd like to start out by defining a couple of terms. And the first term I'd like to define is what we call the wounded self in inner bonding. And the wounded self is a fairly young part of us, a child or an adolescent. It's the programmed part of us. It's our ego. It's the part of us that absorbed a lot of false beliefs, hundreds of false beliefs, as we were growing up. And this part operates out of our left brain mind, and it kind of operates on automatic pilot, on a lot of beliefs that have been programmed in. And the other term that I would like to define is what we call in inner bonding the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're connected with a higher source of spiritual guidance. And that can be whatever it is for you. It's your higher mind, it's God, it's a teacher in spirit, an angel, whatever that is for you. But it's accessing a higher part of our intelligence, not just what we've been programmed to believe, which is what the wounded self is. And so this is very important when it comes to understanding what it means to be in love, because when the wounded self thinks it's in love, that is totally different than when the loving adult is in love. So this is a difference between actually being in love or being infatuated, because it's the wounded self that gets infatuated. It's the loving adult that is able to actually love. The wounded self in us, our ego self, is not able to love. This part of us is always trying to get love. And this part of us confuses infatuation with love. And so that does create a lot of confusion. The wounded self is not able to really experience the true essence of a person, who they really are, aside from their wounded self, aside from their ego, aside from all the programs that have gone on. We all have this really wonderful, incredible, beautiful essence in us. And when we fall in love with somebody from our loving adult state, what we're really falling in love with is who they are in their essence. And we're not going to be able to fall in love with a lot of people. There's only, I don't know, maybe a handful of people on the planet that we're going to connect to in that very, very deep way, like a soul connection. People sometimes call this a soul mate. I don't particularly like that term, but it's a soul connection. It's that feeling like you know this person and you cherish who they are in their essence. The problem is that the wounded self is not capable of seeing another person's essence, because the wounded self has no idea about your own essence. The wounded self came into being early in life to try and be safe, to try and get love and avoid pain and be safe, and created a lot of ways of controlling, ways of protecting against pain. And the wounded self made a decision very early that who we really are is not good enough. This is called core shame. And we decided this because we weren't getting the love that we needed. And so we kind of took our true self, our true essence, and hid it away in the corner. And we went about developing our wounded self. And the problem is, as I said, is that this part of us is not able to really see our own essence or other people's essences. And so what the wounded self does is kind of fall in love with an image, with either the image that the other person is presenting or the image that one creates in your own mind. But that really has nothing to do with love. That's not about really loving who that person is in their essence. And it's only the loving adult who can decide whether or not another person's wounded self is tolerable. We all have a wounded self. We all act out of our wounded selves. We've got addictions from our wounded selves. So, for example, as a loving adult, you might decide that it's not tolerable to be with somebody who is an alcoholic, for example, or smokes cigarettes, or somebody who doesn't take care of their physical body, or somebody who gets angry at the drop of a hat. We all have the right to decide what's tolerable and what's not tolerable in somebody's wounded self. Now, when we are in a loving adult state and we fall in love with somebody's essence, then we can decide, well, okay, these traits in their wounded self, I'm not wild about them, but they're okay because I'm really in love with this essence and they're in their essence most of the time, and I can handle the wounded self. But the wounded self can't even see the essence and so creates this image of the person and then is kind of shattered when that person goes into their wounded self because they can't love. They're not really in love. They're infatuated with an image of what they think that person is, but not who that person really is. And the wounded self gets really attached very often to sexual attraction, thinking that an intense sexual attraction is what falling in love is. But that's not what falling in love is. We can have intense sexual attractions for many reasons other than being in love with somebody. We tend to get attracted to someone at our common level of woundedness, which is our common level of self-abandonment. And there can be a lot of fire in a codependent, wounded relationship. That doesn't mean that's a relationship of love. And there's a huge difference between making love from the wounded self, which can be very, very intense, but usually burns out pretty quickly, and making love from the loving adult, which is a deep spiritual sharing of love. And that's the kind of sexuality that does not burn out. So let's talk about the symptoms of infatuation. Thinking about that person obsessively, you know, oh, I can't get them out of my mind, I can't sleep, I can't eat, that kind of thing. That's always coming from a wounded place, feeling like you can't live without that person. That's definitely coming from a wounded place. It means that you've completely abandoned yourself, you've handed yourself over to this person, you love how this person is loving you for the time being, and you just feel like you can't live without that person. That's coming from a wounded place. That actually has nothing to do with love. You might also be thinking about sex a lot. And again, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with love. Now, certainly, if we're in love with somebody from an adult place, we might be very attracted to them and think about sex with them, but it's not any kind of obsessive thing. It becomes more obsessive when it's from the wounded self. And when you find yourself needing them to love you in order to feel like you're okay, that is definitely coming from the wounded self. That's self-abandonment. You've made them responsible for whether or not you're okay. They have to love you for you to be okay. That's codependency. That has nothing to do with love. And finally, if you find yourself avoiding conflict with this person, avoiding being in truth, you're trying to control the relationship. You don't want to know what the reality is. You're not really open. Again, you're in your wounded self. When that's what's going on, those are symptoms of infatuation. So let's talk about the symptoms of being in love. And really, this is very, very different than infatuation. First of all, you really look forward to being with this person, spending time with this person, talking with them. The conversation flows easily. You like being in their energy. Their energy feels good to you. It feels easy to be next to them. It feels easy to sit at a table with them, to talk to them. you just really, really look forward to spending time with them. Not, you know, necessarily always in bed, just talking and caring and being with each other. And the sexuality comes out of the intimacy between you, not just something that's separate from emotional intimacy, but it comes out of the connection and the emotional intimacy. And central to being in love is that you see this person's essence. You're not making them up. People make each other up all the time. You really get who this person is on a deep level, and you really love who this person is in their essence. And this person looks great to you. It's not about the most beautiful or the most handsome person, but because you're really seeing their essence, they look great to you. And you know, it's so interesting that I see this so often when I work with couples, that sometimes they're surprised that they find this person so attractive, because that person might not be fitting their idea about what an attractive person is, but because they love this person's essence, the person looks great to them. Finally, you can talk about problems and issues and reach resolution. You find that you can care about yourself and you can care about the other. You don't feel like you have to give yourself up to the other person. You don't feel like you have to exert control over that person. Those are all things that the wounded self does, is they try and control the other person. They give themselves up to the other person. They withdraw from the other person. But when you're really in love from the loving adult state, you can talk about things and you can care about each other without losing yourselves. And one of the things that's so important in terms of being in love is to be willing to test out the relationship. And what I mean by this is that you really can't tell who a person is until you have conflict with them. You might think this is the most wonderful person in the world, but who are they in conflict? What do they do in conflict? Do they suddenly shut down and go away? Do they get really angry? Do they get really compliant and don't really deal with the issues? So it's so important to not avoid conflict. If you really want to know who this person is, don't avoid conflict. Get into it, explore it, learn about it. Don't hold back. What happens to people so often when they meet somebody that they're really attracted to is they don't speak up. And therefore, they're making this person up. They're making up how this person would be. But they don't really know, because they're not speaking up. They're not being themselves. They're not confronting issues around which there's conflict. They're either giving themselves up or they're just avoiding it in some way. So you can't really know whether you're in love until you're willing to test the relationship by being willing to address conflict, being willing to tell your truth, being willing to take loving care of yourself and see what happens. In order to know whether or not you're in love, you have to be willing to know the truth, to not give yourself up. You have to be willing to lose the other person rather than lose yourself. If you're coming from fear of losing the other person and you're giving yourself up out of that fear, you will never really know whether you're in love with this person. You will never really know who this person is. And so it is so vitally important, and I see this over and over again with the couples that I work with. I've been working with couples for 42 years on the phone, in intensives, in many different ways, and I see over and over again that people get together into relationships without being honest and truthful, and then they may get married, and then they're kind of stunned to find out what the truth is, because at some point they can't keep up the front, and they realize they've made each other up. They don't really know who this other person is. And in order to sustain love, let's say you do fall in love. Let's say that you've done your inner work and you've developed your loving adult and you're really able, you meet somebody and you're able to be yourself with that person and you really love and value that person's essence. What keeps that love alive? And there are some very, very important decisions that each person needs to make if they want to keep love alive. And one is that you both need to be open to learning. This is one of the basic tenets of the inner bonding process, is being open to learning. And that means that you want to learn about yourself, you want to learn about your partner, you're willing to get into conflict in order to do the learning. The other is that you're willing to take responsibility for your own feelings and not be making your partner responsible. And this is a big part of the inner bonding process. So if you really want to learn how to sustain love, I want to suggest that you learn and practice the inner bonding process. You can learn it from our free course. Being a member on our website is an incredible way of learning the inner bonding process. And our recently released program, SelfQuest, at selfquest.com, is a phenomenal way of learning how to take emotional responsibility and sustain love in a relationship. If one or both of you is not open to learning, it doesn't matter how in love you feel. It's not going to last. The love will die when there's no intention to learn about loving yourself and sharing your love with the other, developing that loving adult self. So really, in order to sustain a loving relationship, the inner bonding process is unbeatable for learning how to love yourself and develop that loving adult self so that you're not giving yourself up, you're not trying to control the relationship, you're really taking emotional responsibility, you're able to stay open to learning and conflict. I have never seen another process that supports being able to maintain being in love like learning and practicing the inner bonding process. So I really want to encourage all of you, take our free course if you haven't already taken it. We have 7 free days on our membership site. Take a look around there. If the cost of the membership site is too much for you, we have a sliding scale. You can call our office. We don't turn people away, whether it's our membership site, whether it's SelfQuest. On the SelfQuest site, if you want to buy it, we have a place, if you can't afford the full price, where you can apply for a discount. We don't believe in turning people away if they really want to learn and they want the support in their own healing. So we have many, many ways of supporting you if you really want to learn and grow. So I am going to open up the lines now. And to see if any of you have questions, you can ask me questions, and I will do a little bit of work with you. The way that we do this is that if you would like to ask me a question, you press *7, and that will unmute you, and you can ask me a question, and I can do a little bit of work with you. It's very safe. You won't get embarrassed. You won't get hurt. And so if anybody would like to press *7, and unmute themselves and ask me a question, then I would be happy to do a little work with you. Is there anybody on the line right now?
Yes.
There's a lot of people. Okay, what is your name, honey?
Hi, it's Yvonne from Montreal. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, Yvonne, what is your question, honey?
Okay, it's a question. I don't necessarily need the work, but from what you said, you were saying that the person in it is in his essence most of the time. Is that when the person is truthful and authentic within their heart? And
yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's what I mean. And when we develop our loving adult, we create the safety to be in our essence. But when we're in our wounded self, there is no safety to being in our essence.
Okay.
But
thank
yes,
you.
That is what I mean by your essence.
Okay, that answers my question.
Okay, good. Or somebody else on the line that would like to ask a question.
How can I mute myself?
Oh, mute is *6.
Hello?
And unmute is *7.
Thank you.
or anybody else. I have a whole bunch of questions of people who wrote them in, so I will turn to these if there's not anybody on the line that would like to ask a question right now. Okay, I'm going to go to one of the questions here. So Christina asks, what do you trust when questioning if you love a person enough to stay in a relationship? Your head, your heart, or your gut? We live together at my house, and we each have two kids home full-time. And she's also asking, how do you make the relationship work when you're at a different stage of life when it comes to children? Mine are 15 and 12, his are 7 and 6. It's been hard for me to get back to that frame of mind, especially that we live together and the kids are with us full-time. So there's actually a couple of questions here. How do you know if you love a person? Well, you cannot know from your head. Your head is your wounded self, so there's no way to know. It's kind of between your heart and your gut. But again, you can't know unless you're really open to learning, because your heart is not, you're not going to be able to know what's in your heart unless your heart is open. And the heart opens when you're open to learning. You're not really going to know what's in your gut when you're not open to learning. And so basic to being a loving adult is the intention to learn. And as I said, inner bonding is based on the two intentions, either to protect yourself against pain or to learn about what's loving to yourself. And so when you move into the intention to learn, that is when you can really know how you feel in your heart and how you feel in your soul. You cannot know it from your head. So as far as making a relationship work when you're at different stages of life with children, you know, that's not really the issue, because some people do have children that are, let's say, 15, 12, 7, and 6, and they have four children. So, you know, this is not an unworkable situation at all. The thing that may make it unworkable is if you're not in the intention to learn. If you're coming from your wounded selves, then there's going to be a lot of conflict, there's going to be a lot of control issues, it's not the issue of the kids being different ages, because that's just not an unresolvable issue at all. If you were open to learning with each other and about yourselves, it would be an easy issue to resolve. And so what this says to me is that one or both of you are operating out of your wounded selves, which is really what's creating the problem here. Okay, I'll go back to online. Is there anybody here on the phone that would like to ask me a question? Okay, I'll go. Anybody? Okay. If you do want to ask next time around, just press star 7 so that when I ask, you're ready to ask a question. So now, Krychel, I think that's how it's pronounced, asks, going through a lot of therapies while transitioning from foster care back home to my mother, I was taught that codependency is unhealthy in a relationship, but I didn't understand the true meaning of codependency until I began the inner bonding process. Only then did I realize it was the act of me making my partner responsible for my inner child, making myself responsible for my partner's happiness, and always trying to find happiness through others. But what I am still puzzled about is the term sacrifice. Does sacrifice mean to ignore and neglect my inner child in order to take care of my partner? Is sacrifice just another word for codependency? What does it mean to sacrifice in a loving relationship? I'm not wild about the word sacrifice, because when we are really truly tuning into what is in our highest good, when we're open to learning and tuning into what is in our highest good, sometimes it is to put aside what we may want at that moment and to be there for another. For example, you have a baby. You're exhausted. The baby's crying in the middle of the night, and you really want to sleep, but you also want to be a good parent. And so, of course, you get up and you take care of the baby. Now, you're sacrificing your sleep, but I don't call that a sacrifice. When I did that with my three children, I didn't think of it as a sacrifice. I thought of it as my wanting to be loving. And so when you're focused on what is truly loving to you, and what is really in your highest good, you don't sacrifice yourself. That doesn't mean that there aren't times when you may be putting aside what you really wanted at that moment because it's more important to you at that moment to be there for somebody else. But it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. It feels like that's what's caring, that's what's loving to you and your partner to do at that moment. So I kind of don't use the word sacrifice. I like to focus in on what is loving, what is in my highest good. I am constantly throughout the day asking my personal guidance about everything. What is loving to me in this situation? What is in my highest good in this situation? What is true in this situation? To me, it's a huge comfort that I don't have to know these things, that I don't have to decide these things on my own, that I can open to learning with my spiritual guidance. And if you haven't practiced inner bonding and you don't know how to do this, this is one of the things you will learn how to do as you learn and practice the inner bonding process. Okay, is there somebody on the line who would like to ask me a question?
Yes, please.
Okay, what is your name?
My name is Patty.
Okay, Patty, go ahead.
I recently ended a relationship with a gentleman that I dated for 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the relationship ended was that I have some inner wounds myself that I'm working on healing of trust. And
uh-huh.
Throughout my relationship with this person, he was untruthful with me and told lies continually throughout the relationship. So I did what was best for myself to provide myself with the self-care I think I needed. But he had mentioned that he would get counseling and get help and this and that never happened.
Okay.
I can't expect him to change, therefore that's why I left the relationship. But do you see that he may move forward in the future and want to work
on
something?
We can't know that. We have to base our decisions on what is in the moment. If he said he was going to go to counseling and he did not go, if he's lied throughout the relationship, then you have to accept that this is the way it is. You have no way of knowing whether somebody is actually in the future going to change or going to get the help that they need. And you cannot base your decision on what somebody is going to do in the future because I got to tell you, 9 times out of 10, nothing changes. And so I think that you made the right decision here, even though it must have been a hard decision. But, to have trust issues and to have somebody who's lying to you does make it awfully, awfully difficult. And, of course, even him saying that he was going to go get counseling and then not getting it was not honest. It sounds like that he may have been coming from a lot of fear of that if he was honest, he would lose you. And that's often why people lie. They lie to try and have some control over how the other person feels about them because they're coming from a lot of fear and a lot of self-abandonment. So what would give you hope that he's going to change in the future?
My heart says there is no hope for the future. That's why I ended it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way that you can count on that. Unless a person is deeply motivated within themselves to be on a personal path of healing and learning and growth and spiritual development, they're just not going to change. A person has to be devoted to that. That's what creates change. When a person truly wants to learn to develop that loving adult and learn to take responsibility for themselves and get out of being a victim and get out of all the protective behavior such as lying, then they can change, but they have to be deeply devoted to that. And it sounds like, from what you're saying about him, that he's not devoted to that. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, well, then there's really no reason for you to hope that he's going to change.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anybody else on the line that would like to ask a question? Okay, well, I have a bunch of questions here. Patricia asks, is it possible for a committed romantic relationship to evolve from unhealthy to healthy, and what does it take to do that? Yes, it is definitely possible for it to evolve from unhealthy to healthy. It happens all the time. And I've been doing counseling for 42 years, and I started out as a traditional therapist for 17 years. I was not happy with the results of it at all. And that's when inner bonding was gifted to me and Dr. Erica Chopich. And since then, we've been evolving the process, and I have not seen any other process that does what inner bonding does. And to me, that's what it takes. It takes two people being committed to learning and healing their false beliefs, to taking responsibility for their own feelings. An unhealthy relationship is basically a codependent relationship where people are blaming, people are dependent on the other for their sense of safety and their sense of worth and for feeling lovable inside. That's an unhealthy relationship. But if people are devoted to learning to take responsibility for defining their own worth and for taking loving care of themselves and filling themselves with love so that they have love to share with their partner rather than just trying to get love, then yes, their relationship changes from unhealthy to healthy. And this is what I do. I do it all the time. I work with thousands of couples, helping them shift their relationship from unhealthy to healthy. And, at this point I do it on the phone. It works very, very well. If you would like to try a couple of sessions, I can certainly help you see how your relationship can change from unhealthy to healthy. So is there, and also we have a wonderful relationship toolbox. It's called the Intimate Relationship Toolbox. If you go to innerbonding.com, you can click on the toolbox, and this is a 12-week downloadable course. I just got an email from somebody today that said that they're in the third week of the course. They had already decided to separate, but they decided to take the course. They've spent $10,000 on therapy that did nothing. And in 3 weeks of the Intimate Relationship Toolbox, sure, they're noticing enormous progress in their relationship. So I really suggest those of you that want to heal your relationship to try the Intimate Relationship Toolbox. Okay, is there anybody else online that would like to ask a question? Okay, got a lot of shy people here. Here's another question from Natasha. I love my spouse, but know there is so much more room for my love to grow. I'm my own barrier, and I can almost physically feel my own emotional blockages. How do I better love myself so that I can plunge into boundless depths of love that I know I'm capable of? Once again, the inner bonding process, learning and practicing inner bonding, will teach you how to love yourself in a way that creates such a deep sense of safety and security inside, that it releases those blockages and allows you to open your heart and share your love with your partner. When you learn to connect with your source of guidance, when you learn to bring that love into your heart, when you learn to take loving action for your own self and to take 100% responsibility for your own feelings, then you're in a position to move beyond the fears that keep you stuck. Most people have two bottom line fears in relationships. One is the fear of rejection, of losing the other, and the other is the fear of engulfment, of losing oneself. And both of these fears come from being in the wounded self, losing oneself, losing the other. When you develop a loving adult, a spiritually connected loving adult, you move to a place where you're no longer afraid of rejection. You don't take it personally. You know that you're connected with yourself, that you can lose the other and still be okay. And you know how to say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no, so that you're not in a position of fearing losing yourself and giving yourself up. And so, again, I want to suggest to you that you learn and practice the inner bonding process. It is a very, very powerful process for healing the blockages to being able to truly share your love. Okay, anybody else online?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
My name is Kathy.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. I have a question about how do you determine if someone else is open to learning and being responsible for their own feelings?
Very good question. As you learn and practice the inner bonding process, you get much more sensitive to another person's energy. We call this frequency. The frequency is the vibration at which we operate. When people operate from a closed heart and they're in fear and they're in anger and judgment, their frequency is low. And when people are in an intention to learn, their frequency goes up. And so right away, when I meet people, I can tell almost instantly whether their heart is open or closed because I can feel their frequency. Since I've been doing this process for so long, I can just tune in energetically to their frequency. So the more you practice inner bonding, the more you're going to be able to tune into that. But the other thing is that you will tell by speaking your truth and taking the risk of conflict, because that's really where you're going to know. It's when you come up against somebody that you're going to know, are they curious? Are they open? Are they wanting to understand? Are they wanting to resolve? Or do they just shut down, go away, resist, get mad? How long do they do that? Do they do it for days? Do they do it for 5 minutes and then open, which is fine. Some people close up and then 5 minutes later they're open. But it's through conflict that you're going to really know whether somebody's open. If you're not in a place where you can yet tune in energetically to their frequency, you'll really be able to tell by what happens in conflict. So, Kathy, does that answer your question?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Does anybody else online have a question they'd like to ask?
Hello?
Yes?
Hello?
Yes, hi. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Debbie.
Hello, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm doing great. How about you?
That's good to hear. I have a two-part question.
Sure.
I met a gentleman who I was very attracted to. It's kind of weird. We had a connection, but it wasn't so much a physical connection. It was more mental. And as the relationship grew, when I mean grew, it's only a couple weeks into the relationship, he became very, what's the word, different.
He became very what?
He became different in the sense that, like, he started being very romantic and, you know, even though I told him I wasn't ready for a relationship because I was still healing from a previous relationship, but he started getting closer, you know, just doing things that you would do when you're in an intimate relationship and not physical. And so I got afraid and asked him to back off. And what happened is when he backed off, he just completely shut down. He stopped calling. He stopped connecting with me. He stopped talking to me. He stopped communicating. So my question is, I mean, is that a sign that this person is not open to learning?
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge red flag, and it's good that it happened early in the relationship because he started trying to get closer because that's what he wanted.
Correct.
But he obviously didn't care what you wanted.
Correct.
And that does not make for a loving relationship. Is somebody who, when you say, look, I'm not ready, could you please back off a little bit, doesn't care about that. He just goes away, shuts down. That's what I'm talking about testing out a relationship,
mm-hmm.
is speaking your truth. You spoke your truth. You didn't give yourself up, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
You spoke your truth. And what you found out is that this man is not open.
I see. Is it possible?
And so,
get me wrong, I'm very attracted to him, but in the same self, because of my past experience, I'm going through the healing process, so I'm learning to love myself and not give myself up and not be
good.
Controlling of other people. But not that I want to just shut down on that date, but I also want the other person to respect where I am in my place. So
absolutely, and you found out early that he's not going to do that.
Okay.
And that's not going to change. That is a red flag right off the bat.
Okay.
That's a deal breaker, and somebody reacts like that to saying your truth, they go away, they shut down, that's what they're going to do in a relationship when they don't get their way.
Yes, and that's what I was afraid you were going to say.
You already know that that's the truth. I mean, sometimes we want to kid ourselves. We don't want to know what the truth is, and then of course we end up getting ourselves into trouble because we denied what we knew at the very, very beginning. I work with people all the time, and I say, when did you know this about your partner? Oh, you know, within the first week.
Right.
But I thought it would change.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm going to answer another question from somebody who wrote in. This is Patty. And why do I find it hard to communicate initially with somebody that I am very attracted to? So what happens is that when you're attracted to somebody, that's when the wounded self tends to take over and want control over how that other person feels about you. And once you get attached to having control over how the other person feels about you, then it's very difficult to flow. And so when you are willing to accept your lack of control over how people feel about you, and this is part of what happens as you practice inner bonding, is that you accept what you don't have control over, and we don't have control over how other people feel about us or about anything. And when we accept that, then it makes it much easier to give that up that control, and then when you're attracted to somebody, you can still be yourself. Okay, is there somebody else online?
Yes, hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. My question is...
What's your name, honey?
Oh, Deborah.
Oh, Deborah, okay.
I have been in a very, very good relationship for a little over a year now, and the healthiest one I've ever been in. Really good communication, lots of mutual respect, great friendship, great times. Everything is really pretty wonderful. Lots of growth and learning and all the stuff we're talking about tonight. The one caveat here is that it's very layered, so it's hard to say this quickly, but he has admitted to not having strong physical attraction for me. And my wounded self is having a lot of trouble with this. I actually told him that I was going to leave the relationship recently. Very difficult conversation we had for about 5 hours, and I said that I just was struggling with this too much, and I wanted more than that for myself in my love life. And he, you know, was very emotional, and you know, just got very, very emotional and told me how much he loves me. And he always tells me how much he loves me. And I don't doubt that he loves me very much. And it is more than friendship. It's not that kind of love. There is intimacy, a lot of intimacy. I can't wrap my head around this, that my partner would not be, quote, hot for me,
right,
for lack of a better way to put it.
Well, you know, unless it's really okay with you that he's not, and it doesn't sound like it is okay with you that he's not, then it would be better for you to move on, because it's not likely to change. You know, people can love each other in many different ways, and they can feel very close and connected. Not everybody are meant to be lovers with each other. Mm. I mean, I've worked with many people who love each other deeply, and they just don't have the chemistry. And it's sad when that happens, or one person has it and the other doesn't. And I mean, it's just where he is. He doesn't have the chemistry. Now, whether he's the kind of person who can't put together love and physical attraction, because there's actually quite a few men like that who and women too, who feel afraid to put together their love for a person emotionally and their physical attraction, that they're scared of the vulnerability of putting those two together. And so they let themselves love somebody emotionally, but they kind of shut down on the physical level, or they really go for it on the physical level, but they hold back on the emotional level because it makes them feel too vulnerable. Now, I don't know if this is the case with him or not.
Well, he's exploring this in therapy, and he does have a physical problem that that's why this is very layered. You know, there's
I understand. So
there's
more to it than that.
Exactly. So I keep saying to myself, well, you know, give it time, and it's probably a lot more about him than me, really. And
it would be an issue
with anybody.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
That's likely true. It's probably, and that's the feeling I'm getting as you're talking. It's likely a lot more about him than it is about you. It's
mm-hmm.
very important for you not to take this personally, mm-hmm. since he does love you, and
yeah.
he is working on it. But you still have to come to terms with whether or not it's okay with you that this may be the way it is.
Yeah, that's what I struggle with.
Yeah.
I'm not sure,
well,
because I get so much out of the relationship. That's the only missing piece.
Now, are you working with a counselor at all?
No, I do a lot of things, but I'm not in private therapy right now, no.
Okay, you might consider having a phone session with me or another inner bonding facilitator to explore whether or not this is something that can be acceptable to you in your heart and soul, because it sounds like you're really struggling with knowing whether or not it can be acceptable to you.
Exactly.
So you might want to, I mean, it probably will only take one session to really determine that, so you might consider doing that.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And we have many very, very well-trained inner bonding facilitators. If you can't afford my fees, there's always a facilitator whose fees you can afford. And on the member site, when somebody is a member, we have a number of inner bonding facilitators in training who work for nothing for members of the website. And so that's a way to get a lot of help very, very inexpensively. So for people who really want help, we always try to find a way to offer people the help that they need. And also, I run a weekly telephone group. It changes every 6 weeks, and that's a relatively inexpensive way of working with me. We work with group process, and people get a lot out of that. So that is another option for people who would like to do work with me. So we're actually out of time here, and I have really enjoyed working with those of you and answering your questions. I am going to unmute for a moment so I can say goodbye to everybody here. Thank you for joining me. Good night, everybody.
Oh, good night. Okay. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Yes, you're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.